Let's listen to God's word. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. We've come to a baptismal service here this evening. And maybe you're here, you're a visitor, you've been invited. Maybe you've never seen a baptismal service before. And you're thinking in your head, what is baptism all about? What have I been invited to this evening? It might seem like a strange thing to you. It might look really strange later on when people go into this tank of water that maybe you won't be able to see at the moment, but you will see it when we put the camera up and you can see what happens later on in our service. Why are people getting wet in their clothes? That's a strange thing to do on a Sunday evening. Maybe it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever to you. What is it all about? Hopefully there's going to be some words that come up on the screen here. What is baptism all about? Baptism is all about Jesus. And if you don't capture anything else this evening, that is what baptism is all about. It's all about Jesus. We talk a lot about Jesus here in this church. We've already sung about Jesus in our songs. Often in church, we talk about the gospel. You might have heard that word. You might have heard it before. Really, the word gospel means good news. That's what we sing about here in this church, the good news. We sing about the gospel, and we give thanks in our prayers, and we talk a lot about it. And it's the good news about here. It's the good news that's all about Jesus Christ. Now, if there's good news, there must obviously be the opposite of it as well. There must be bad news. And there is. The Bible tells us that. It tells us the bad news, but it doesn't leave us hanging there with this doom and gloom situation. It tells us this incredible message, the gospel, the good news that's all about Jesus Christ. So what is the bad? Do you know what the Bible tells us? The Bible's like a mirror. It shows us exactly what we're like. It tells us what our heart's like and our actions. And it tells us in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 3, it says, "For all have sinned," all have done wrong things, "all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We have all fallen short of God's glory because God is holy. That means he's pure, he's perfect in every way. And even if you're the best person here tonight, we've all fallen short of his glory. We've never got up to his perfect, holy standard. The word sin actually means missing the mark. The kind of image behind it is, imagine there was a target over here and you had a bow and arrow and I was aiming at the target and I fired. Well, if I miss the mark, I might have been close to it, but if I've missed it, it's not quite hit it. That's what sin is. It's not coming up to God's perfect standard. It's not hitting the mark, perfection. It's actually falling short. And that's what we all do. You might be better than the person sitting beside you here this evening. You probably are. But compared to God, we all fall short. But as I say, God doesn't leave it there. He gives us this gospel message, this good news, that even though we fall short, he still loved us. Even though we have disobeyed him at different points in our life, we've broken his commandments, God still loves us. And he showed his love in this incredible way that Jesus Christ, God the Son, stepped into our world. And he lived a life that never missed the mark. He lived a life that was perfect, holy in every way. And then the one who was holy went to the cross, taking the punishment, taking the blame, not for his sins, he was perfect, but for people who fall short, people like me and people like you as well. He was the greatest substitute. That should have been us dying on the cross, taking the punishment for the wrong things we've done against the holy God, and yet Jesus stepped in and he took our place. And it's not the end of the story. The Bible tells us that Jesus was buried, but 3 days later, something incredible happened, that he rose back to life again. He's a living Savior, because a dead man in the tomb can't do anything for you. If Jesus Christ is dead, let's close the doors and let's leave this building now, because it's all a waste of time. But Jesus Christ rose again with great power, and he offers us something we don't deserve. He offers us forgiveness for the wrong things we've done. And he offers forgiveness to those who put their faith and trust in him. And that basically is a summary of the gospel. That there is the incredible news, the good news that Jesus loved us, died for us, rose again, and offers us forgiveness. It's all about Jesus, the gospel. You're in a church building here tonight. Church is all about Jesus. It's the reason we meet. We have no other reason. It's not a glorified social club. We meet because the people who meet here regularly have something in common. We love Jesus because he died for us. We believe in him and we've put our faith in him. And so we talk a lot about Jesus here in our service. When we pray, we talk through in Jesus' name. We sing songs, we've already done here this evening, that are all about Jesus. One of the things we also do here in the church is we like to show the gospel. We like to show the good news that's contained in the Bible. We have two ordinances that we observe here. Communion, or the Lord's Supper, as we sometimes call it. We observed that this morning. This table here was down on top of where this baptismal tank is tonight, and we had bread and wine in it, and we observed communion. That's one ordinance that we observe. And the other one is baptism, that we're all going to view here this evening. And basically, communion and baptism are like two visual aids, two pictures that we can look at, and they remind us about Jesus, because it's all about Jesus. And so this morning when we took communion, we took some bread that reminded us of Christ's body that was damaged on a cross, broken on a cross, taking our punishment. And then we drank the wine, and the color of it reminds us of his blood that was shed for us so that we could be forgiven. And so this morning when we took those visual aids, bread and wine, we remembered what Jesus had done for us, and we gave thanks for it. Because communion is all about Jesus. Tonight we're going to observe the other ordinance. We're going to have a baptismal service. As I said right at the start, what's baptism all about? Baptism is all about Jesus. It's another visual aid that we're going to see. You can't see it at the moment, but you'll see it when it's up on the screen later on. It's a picture of what Jesus did for us. It's a picture of Jesus' death, his burial, and the resurrection. And so when the people tonight go underneath the water, it's a picture of Christ's death and his burial. They go underneath the water. We don't leave them under the water. We bring them back to new life. A picture of what happened for Jesus and what Jesus did for us, dying for us, being buried, and rising again with great power. You see, baptism makes absolutely no sense without Jesus. Without Jesus, it's just people getting wet on a Sunday night in their clothes, and nobody wants to do that. But when we think about Jesus, baptism suddenly starts to make sense. But why do people want to get baptized? There's a number of reasons why Connor and Stefan are being baptized tonight, following the example of many, many people who have been baptized in this church and around the world in the past. The first reason is it's an act of obedience. Jesus, when he died on the cross, was buried, he rose again, and before he ascended up to heaven, where he is now, he gathered his disciples, the first followers around him, and he gave them a command. He said, I want you to go into the world, and when you go into the world, I want you to preach the gospel. Communicate the good news. Don't keep this incredible message to yourself. Tell others about it, because everybody needs to hear that I died for them, I was buried, I rose again, and I can forgive them. Go into the world, preach the gospel, and when people believe it, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit as a public declaration that they're followers of Jesus Christ. And those who were baptized are those who have responded to the message. That's what the early church did. That's what the early believers did. They heard the message, they believed it, they responded, and they were baptized. I read this evening from Acts chapter 2. The book of Acts is the story of the early church. And where we picked it up in Acts 2 is the day of Pentecost. That's a special day. It's when the Holy Spirit came upon the believers. And the Apostle Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, as recorded here in Acts 2, and he preached the gospel. And what did he preach about? Well, it was all about Jesus. And so if we were to read all of Acts 2, we only read part of it this evening. If we read all of it, he talked about what Jesus did in his life, talks about his death, about his burial, and his resurrection. And he shared this incredible message about Jesus. And we picked it up in verse 37. Let's listen again to what it says. Now, when they heard this, this is the thousands of people who are listening, they were cut to the heart. It just didn't go in one ear and out the other ear. They heard this incredible message, and it touched them. They were cut to the heart. It made an impact upon their hearts and their lives as well. And they asked what they have to do. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? We've heard this incredible message. What do we do in response to what we've just heard? Here's what Peter says, verse 38. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So he says, repent and then be baptized. Let me take that word repent. Let me unpack it if you're not familiar with it, so you know exactly what this Bible word means. The word repent really means a complete change of heart. Another way to describe it is to make a U-turn. You're going one way in life, and you turn complete opposite way. That's what repent means, to turn 180 degrees, to make a U-turn in the way you're living your life, to make a U-turn in the way that you're thinking. I used the illustration about sin earlier on, that sin was missing the mark. Imagine the target was over there, and I fired the arrow, and I just keep missing it. Here's the reality. We aren't just missing the mark. The reality is we have our back to God and God's perfect standards. We've been shooting in completely the opposite direction. And yet repentance is when we turn around and we face the one who loved us, who died for us, and we put our faith and trust in him. It says repent and then be baptized. Being baptized is the public way of declaring you are a follower of Christ. What is happening tonight when Connor and Stephen are baptized? Their faith is going public. They're doing it in front of this crowd of people. They are nailing their colors to the mast, that they actually say, I believe this. I believe the gospel. I believe the message in the Bible. I believe it with my heart. I'm trusting Jesus Christ, and I want everybody to know that I believe this, and I belong to Jesus. I am one of his followers. Now, there's nothing magical in this water. It comes out of the same tap water supply that's supplying the different hand basins around our church. There is nothing magical in this water. There's nothing that's going to completely change Connor and Stefan when they step into it and go underneath the water this evening. When they come into this water, it doesn't make them a Christian. They've already put their faith and trust in Jesus to be their Savior. Really, what's happening tonight is a visual aid. It's an outward sign of what has already happened in their heart, that they have repented, that they have turned, and they're identifying with Jesus and his death, his burial, and his resurrection. The best way I can explain it is a bit like this wedding ring I have on at the moment. I got married 18 years ago, got married to my wife Joanne. She's sitting over here. She's wearing her wedding ring. And on that day, we exchanged these rings. Do you know what a wedding ring is? It's an outward sign of an inward love and commitment to one another. There's nothing special about this piece of gold, but it's an outward sign of a commitment that we have made together. Connor, I don't think you've got a wedding ring yet. Stefan, you got one recently. Congratulations getting married to Amanda earlier on this year. What you're going to do this evening is a similar kind of thing. It's an outward sign of an inward commitment and reality. It's also saying baptizing tonight, when you're baptizing, you're identifying with your Savior, you're identifying in his death and his burial and his resurrection. And so when we lower them down into the water, they're identifying with Christ and his death. They're putting their old life, their old way of living, to death symbolically. And then they will go underneath the water. They identify with his burial. And as I've reassured them, that is not the end. We are not going to hold them under the water, because it's not the end of the story. Jesus Christ rose again. You don't have to wait 3 days. You don't have to wait 3 minutes. We will bring you straight up. But you're identifying with Christ in his resurrection, and you're rising up to this new life that Jesus Christ has given to you. raised to walk in the newness of life. You see, baptism is all about Jesus. Tonight, Connor and Stefan want to identify with their Savior. The book of Acts, Acts 2, tells us that on the day Peter preached this gospel message, 3,000 people received the word, the message of Jesus. They were cut to the heart. They repented. They turned from the way they were living. They turned to Jesus. They trusted him. And immediately, they were baptized as an outward sign of what had happened in their hearts and their lives. It wasn't the end for them. It tells us that they became involved in the local church. The passage we've read tells us that they were devoted to the teaching of the church, to the breaking of bread and of prayer. They were helping each other, and together they were praising God. You see, repentance, turning to Christ, is an individual thing. Being baptized is an individual thing. We will baptize people individually here this evening. But God doesn't leave us as individuals. That's not God's plan for his followers. His plan is that we might be connected and devoted to a local church so we can grow, mature in our faith, and encourage one another as well. Shortly, we're going to hear Connor's story. We're going to hear Stefan's story as well. We're going to hear what Jesus means to them. But let me close this message this evening by asking you, what does Jesus mean to you? Does he mean anything at all to you? Do you understand the gospel? Do you understand the good news? First of all, understand the bad news, what we're like in the sight of a holy God, and then what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, and how we need to respond, how we need to repent, and then be baptized as that outward sign of faith. Remember the gospel. It's all about Jesus. Do you realize that he died for you? He was buried for you, and then he rose again. He died for your sins. He loves you, and he wants you to be forgiven as well. People still ask this question that they asked in Acts 2. What shall we do? And the answer is still the same. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. I trust you do understand that. I trust that we're all putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Maybe you've still got some questions. Maybe you've still got some doubts. Maybe you'd like a chat. You want to talk about spiritual things. I'd love to have a conversation, or Paul, or one of our other pastors. We'd love to have a chat with you this evening. You want to chat? Come and speak to me at the supper time later on. If you'd like us to pray with you, we'd love to pray with you as well. Or maybe open a Bible and explain things to you. But remember, it's all about Jesus. Let's pray. And let's give thanks for what we've heard here in God's word this evening. Dear Father, we want to thank you for the gospel. We want to thank you for this great message of the Bible, that it is all about Jesus. That Jesus loved us even though we had disobeyed him and done so many wrong things. Wrong things in our thoughts and our actions and the words we've said. And yet he still loved us and went to the cross to take our place. That he rose again with great power and offers us forgiveness because he is a living Savior. We thank you for Connor and Stefan and many others here who put their faith and trust in Christ and want tonight to publicly declare that they belong to Jesus. They believe in him and they're trusting in him. And we pray for all of us, that all of us would know the reality of Jesus Christ as our Savior, that our sins are forgiven and experience the joy that comes from knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Bless us, we pray, and we ask all this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.